angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
We're told that there is power in prayer, but I think too many of us don't really realize how much power there is in prayer. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me in studio, my very best friend, my wife, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie.
And a gentleman who I've experienced firsthand, a gift that he has given. When he prays, angels listen, and we know that God listens as well. He is a remarkable man. He was an A-list musician. Could have pursued a career as a pop musician and sold millions and millions of albums, records, CDs. For you older people like me, you remember albums. But he is also an author. He is a pastor. He is an equestrian, we find out today, an artist, an all-around Renaissance man. It is our honor for the first time to welcome to Skywatch TV Pastor Casper McLeod. Casper, it's good to see you, brother.
Delighted to be back with you.
And I mentioned the firsthand experience. Last year at the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference, I was had the honor of being the final speaker of the weekend. And all weekend, I had been fighting a throat infection of some kind. It felt like I had a golf ball on one side lodged there. And before I went up to pray or to speak, you prayed, and it went away.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Now, it came back later, but it was grace sufficient for the day. You know, it got me through the hour and 15 minutes that I was speaking up there.
And you didn't think you were going to make it.
I didn't think I was going to make it.
He didn't even know if he was going to be able to make
his
speech.
I was popping pain pills. I was doing the throat spray. I was gargling. I was doing everything possible.
It was a great presentation, by the way.
It was.
Thank you. Well, it was.
Before we get too involved, I just want to clarify something you said at the very opening.
Yes.
You said that when he prays, angels listen.
Well.
He does not believe in praying to angels.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I just want to make sure
you understand
that he believes in praying to the Lord God Almighty. And the
only.
Lord God Almighty sends out angels as he deems it necessary.
Exactly right. So thank you for clarifying that, because that is what I meant, but I shouldn't assume.
But there are some now
who
are saying.
You've told me often enough people can't hear what's inside my head.
I can.
I just still assume that people
but
do.
There but there are some people now who are teaching that we're to pray to angels. We're to try to get angels to come into this space-time continuum. Mm. That is, well, that's just wrong.
That's, yeah.
The angels often do minister for him to us, do they not?
The Lord sends his ministering angels out. That's the word. We see a number of scriptural evidence for that.
You have one of the most, I think, compelling personal stories. First of all, we're going to eventually get to all of your professional history, because you're a painter. You, as you said, an equestrian, you play music that is just incredible. Your talent is, there's almost nothing that you cannot do.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen to that, amen to that. However, your life was almost cut short.
It was.
Can you tell us about that? The day you died?
The day I died, I was playing with some friends of mine called the Newsboys. They asked me to come up as a guest artist one night. It was in the late 90s, I think 97, 98. And there was about 10,000 people in the audience. So I'm having a great time. We're just praising God together. And I left the stage, and a couple of hours later, I felt like I was still, you know, kind of jogging. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize how much energy it takes to get in front of a massive amount of people.
And, we do.
Yeah.
Well, that was your life for many years as well.
So I thought, well, this is odd. You know, I ended up in ER, and they said, well, you're going to die from an incurable heart disease. And now when I hear somebody say the word incurable, I know there's an unclean spirit operating, because there's no such thing as an incurable disease. And I've got medical doctor friends that'll validate what I'm just saying. So my friend Peter Fuller, who was the lead singer of the Newsboys at the time, And they get a message, I'm in hospital, so he comes rushing over and tells me, my dad prayed for a blind man in Australia, and he got his sight back. You know, let's start praying. So the whole, you know, band's praying for me. And I mean, up until that point, I don't think I'd ever really been around churches where they were experiencing things like the Book of Acts. And I think that the devil's done a very strategic work to try to prevent people from getting to that place, because once you pray for somebody and they're supernaturally healed, you're going to go for the next one and the next one and the next one, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now you're confident, like, wait a minute, this thing works. Mm-hmm. And even if you pray for, you know, the next 20 people, nothing happens, the 21st person, you're going to pray because you know there's somewhere that's going to connect, right? So I got a lot of prayer at the time and went through a real desert experience. It got to a point where I really couldn't even carry my guitar. I mean, I was in really bad shape. I don't think people realized how ill I was, maybe because I hit it pretty well on the outside, you know, we're Brits, so we have to hide it. So step up a little and all that. So around 2001, I'd been studying day and night, because I think at that point I listened to read every Derek Gilbert, not your Derek Gilbert, Derek Prince book that was available.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my friend Phil Keggy, who was my mentor, led me mm-hmm. to Christ.
Yeah, love him.
You know, they were really good friends, so I knew about Derek Prince a lot. And he made one statement. Sometimes you read a book and just one thing just is vital to your life. And it was Proverbs 4:20. 1-23, if you meditate on the word of God day and night, it'll be healing to all your flesh. So I looked it up in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and that word all means everything. Hmm. Mm-hmm. So I decided I was just going to dedicate everything to Christ. And my family thought I really went off the deep end this time, right? Because, I mean, I didn't want to listen to Christian radio or Christian television, anything. I'm just in the word. You get in the word of God gets in you. So the church I was attending, and I was a music minister at the point, at least 15 years now, after leaving the secular, you know, Atlantic Records thing. So they call me and they go, God spoke to us and we're supposed to ordain you as a pastor. And my first thought was, well, I'm going to die anyways. I might as well die serving God, you know, kind of lay it on me, right? And so I get ordained, and I started attending a church down in South Georgia where they had a lot of real good insights about the spiritual issues behind diseases. And so I started learning, you know, how this works and the epigenetics part. Mm-hmm. And so I went to this physician who is still a very close friend of mine, Dr. Terry Allen in Montgomery at the Fit Center. And she weaned me off all the dangerous medicine. She gave me a book called Dangerous Medicines. So, because sometimes they prescribe medicine that actually does 50% in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, if you want to take a pill, take the gospel pill because it's free and all the side effects are beneficial.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I got weaned off all the medications, which they said, when you start these, you know, they tell you, when you start taking these, you know, pills, you can never come off them. Mm-hmm. But that's another lie of the medical mm-hmm. industry.
Yeah.
So I get off all the medication with a doctor's oversight. Don't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, be sensible. And the day I got taken off all of it, didn't need to take, was the day I got ordained, which was surprisingly enough.
So
the church that, you know, I'd learned a lot of the epigenetics part from asked me if I'd come down and share. And so I went down and they asked me if I'd play some music and share my testimony. And my doctor, Terry Allen, came with her mother, in fact, and they were sitting in the front row from Montgomery, probably about a 3-hour drive for him, as well as for me, from the other direction. And so I get there, and the praise being finds out I'm going to be there, you know, playing. So they asked if I could sit in, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'd love the jam, okay? So I don't know any of the music, but, you know, I'm just up there wailing on my guitar, playing along, and suddenly my heart started going wrong. And I'm thinking, no. This can't be happening. I've been healed of this. Mm-hmm. This is not possible to happen. And I heard an audible voice. Now, I've been in enough recording studios to know that voices just don't speak out of thin air. And the voice said, if you get off the altar now, you won't be healed. And I thought for a moment, God would never say that. That goes against the word of God. By his stripes, I was healed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I stopped playing, and this extraordinary moment happened where when I stopped playing, it was like the Holy Spirit filled in for me. because half the praise be in turn, this go, wow, what's McLeod doing on the guitar? That's amazing. I never heard a guitar sound like that before. And I was just standing there looking, you know, pretty white and pale, leaning against the pillar, not playing at all. And I heard it as well. It was just this kind of celestial, you know, I've heard it a couple of times in other situations. So I just, at this point, like, guitars used to be like an extra appendage, to be honest, you know. And so I just let go of my guitar, let it gently fall to the floor. And I didn't know what to do. Can you, like, interrupt, you know, hundreds of people and go, I think I'm having a crisis here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just walked off, and there was an empty chair next to Dr. Allen and her mum, and I sat down. And so she took, you know, a pulse immediately, and and she looks at me, and she goes, well, we've tried medicine. Now we just have to trust God. The other part of that equation was the nearest hospital was probably 45 minutes away. So I'm sitting there thinking two thoughts. You know, if I die, I get a glorified body, you know, on the day of resurrection, and the Lord will take care of my wife and children and all the details. I trust him completely. In fact, a couple of days before, I remember having a conversation with the Lord, and I didn't know I was going to get tested on. I said, I know, Lord, you can heal me of anything, and even if, you know, I die, you could bring me back today, tomorrow, a million years later.
So
the service is going on, the pastor's going, you know, he's not following the plan. He was supposed to play with the praise band, then come play solo, and then speak. So he jumps in there and starts giving a message. She's, the doctor's taking my pulse every other minute, looking really concerned, and I know we're in trouble here. So I'm just like, okay, by his stripes I was healed. I refuse the fear. Fear, you know, it says in Romans 14:23, that which is not faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to, I don't want to sin. I don't want to fear anything. And at this point, the service is starting to wind down. And Dr. Terry, you know, said, you really need some prayer. Let's go up. And we're in the front row. So it was in a very far to walk. And so I'm standing there at the pulpit. And the pastor's looking at me going, he's got people around him. There's a registered nurse there, a couple other people on staff. And he goes, you know, you're healed. And I'm going, I don't feel healed. And he starts talking to me about tissue memory and memes. And basically, I remember this experience like it was yesterday, and I dropped dead. And it was just, it wasn't a heart attack. I mean, I'm just gone. I mean, my body's fallen, and I'm standing there. I'm going, how can I be standing? And I'm looking at my body on the floor. And then the pastor was speaking like one of those military guys at boot camp, you know, he's speaking really authoritatively, but I can't understand anything he's saying. Like, language on earth no longer made much sense to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And then I realized he wasn't speaking to me at all. He was speaking to something behind me, which was sinister, and that just vanished. And then there's this angelic presence that surrounded me. And then the next thing, I remember seeing the whole world like a scroll. And I saw everything going on at once. And I had this incredible perspective, like, you know, when a concert where they have a camera that's like kind of panning around, and then it just like focuses in on, you know, one or two faces. And I saw the pastor and the doctor, and the doctor's looking amazed. She's like, she gets thrown backwards, and she goes, how did you do that? And he's looking at the ground going, I didn't do that. The Lord Jesus did that. I asked him, and he did that. And next thing I know, I opened my eyes, and it was the rudest awakening coming back into this dimension. It was just it's startling to come back into this reality. And I'm looking around going, you know, why am I on the floor? And why are all these people? It reminded me of touring, you know, like I'd wake up sometimes going, what country am I in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where am I? What did I do last hour? I played a concert. Okay,
what
I know where I am.
What was my name again?
Right. Yeah, if it's Thursday, this must be Belgium or something.
Yes. So Dr. Terry, you know, I my first words were, what happened? And she leans in and she goes, well, that was spiritual warfare. And then she goes, well, by the way, your heart stopped beating. So then the pastor starts trying to tell me, you know, do you want me to explain what happened? And he's giving me scientific terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to process the whole thing. And it was an extraordinary moment. I knew I'd experienced a miracle, but never having experienced a miracle before, this was, you know, it was a reference point to it. When I finally did get up off the floor and all these people around me, and I wanted to stay by myself, which they didn't think was a good idea, but I just felt this angelic presence around me, and I felt this tingling. Not like when your leg falls asleep or something. It's not that. It was something different, but it was just, especially my chest. And so in the morning, I saw that Dr. Terry and Mum, their light was on. It was early, but, you know, dawn. And so I went over and knocked on the door. They let me in, and she starts sharing scripture. I don't know what she shared, but suddenly I felt better than I ever felt in my life. And then the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, I want you to lay hands on her mother. I want to baptize her in the Holy Ghost. So I ended up putting my hand on her mother, and I'm thinking, like, don't I need to, like, I've been a minister a whole week now. I think, don't I need to, like, teach a couple hours? And so I just start telling her, you know, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit God wants it for, you know. Her mother's from England and kind of more like the upper middle class part, so kind of a stiff upper lip. We don't show emotion ever. And I started praying for her, and suddenly tears are running down her face. This is totally out of character. And then she starts worshiping God in another unknown tongue. What I didn't know, and they told me later, was she had tumor-type cyst in her breast had vanished at that moment. Oh. And I've been seeing miraculous stuff ever since.
Hmm. We need to take a break, but we'll talk more about that and how that experience led to some of the books that you've written, specifically, What Was I Thinking? It is a story that we don't hear often enough in our churches today. We have de-supernaturalized the faith to the point where too many of us believe that this sort of thing doesn't happen. And frankly, 25 years ago, I would have been one of those guys. But I see too many people who are rational, functional, intelligent, productive human beings, like Pastor Casper McLeod, I believe. Our conversation with Pastor Casper McLeod continues right after this on Skywatch TV.
We've been talking to author and Christian music virtuoso, Pastor Casper McLeod, about his latest book, What Was I Thinking? Well, now's your opportunity to receive your own copy of this amazing work in an incredible special offer available now for a limited time. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Unmasking the Future special offer. The book, What Was I Thinking?, reveals the marvelous links between the functions of the brain, the commandments of God, and how your physical, spiritual, and emotional health depend on your understanding of God's Word and how to apply it to your thought life. When you order this special offer, you'll also receive Pastor Casper's incredible book, Unmasking the Future, an imperative read that reveals the biblical truth about the existence of the giant Nephilim, the possibility of ancient astronauts or alien beings, transhumanism, how to face the future without a spirit of fear, and so much more. Plus, what special offer featuring Christian music legend Casper McLeod would be complete without some of his phenomenal musical works? In the Unmasking the Future special offer, you'll also receive Casper's new album, Communion, featuring stellar tracks like In Adoration. I've Got a New Life.
I've got a new life in Jesus. I've got a reason to live.
And more intimate worship songs like Talk to the Wind.
You can talk to the wind and make it obey.
These amazing songs and more. Sold separately, these items would hold a retail value of $45. Yours now for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. So look to the future without a spirit of fear. Infuse your thought life with biblical scriptures to achieve more healthy living and enjoy the incredible music of Casper McLeod in the Unmasking the Future special offer, available now at the Skywatch TV store.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. If you think this is good, check out some of the web-exclusive content at skywatchtv.com. We have other programs that we just can't fit into our network television schedule, plus weekly looks at the world of science through a biblical lens. They are not incompatible. Sharon, who is referred to around the office here as the smart one, is the host of Sci Friday. She lets me sit in and, you know, mouth off from time to time. That plus Josh Peck and his excellent program hosted with his wife, Christina Peck, Into the Multiverse. You'll find those plus daily news updates only at skywatchtv.com and the Skywatch TV channels on Roku and on YouTube. We're talking with Pastor Casper McLeod. He is the pastor of Upper Room Fellowship in the Atlanta area and the author of a number of books, including What Was I Thinking? Getting Your Thoughts Working for You Instead of Against You. So you died God said, apparently, that decided that he wasn't done with you yet, that you had more to do here. You've seen other miraculous events since that day. And, you know, in my case, I will testify to at least a small miracle in helping me get through that speech, that presentation of the conference last year. But the book, what was I thinking? How did all this experience result in this book? And what do you hope people take away from this book?
Well, I've already had a number of people tell me they've gotten healed. One lady wrote she got healed of lupus just reading the book. I think that's pretty extraordinary.
That is extraordinary.
And my friend Linda Lang, after I wrote the original manuscript, ended up like helping put it together in a much more presentable way where people can pray at the end of each chapter. I was up I should tell you this one first. I was back in England a couple of years ago at a church. And I remember walking out and I said, I don't know what you guys have been doing here for the last couple of hundred years, but I've come a long way back to present a message tonight. You know, the Lord says, John 14:12, this and greater things shall you do in my name. How are you ever going to do anything greater than the Lord Jesus? You can't. But if we were all doing what he said to do, we'd all be seeing more healings and miracles, signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
So I led them through, you know, a journey, which, you know, the kind of presentations I've been doing. And at the end of the message, I remember standing there showing them, you know, just scripture after scripture. This is for today. This is what God wants for you. He wants to heal you, bless you, all good things. And I remember standing there going, you know, if I laid hands on everybody, I'd be here all night. So I just stood there and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we could say it right now to everybody out there that needs a healing miracle, I pray right now in the almighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Messiah Yeshua, that blind eyes open and deaf ears hear, and disease would just disappear out of people. The lame would get up and walk, and God would just do a supernatural miracle in your life. If you need a creative miracle, he's the one. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm praying like that, and find out afterwards, because so many people want to, you know, come talk to you afterwards. A lady that was deaf for 20 years, instantly, at the name of Jesus, deaf ears open, her ears popped open.
Hmm.
And her family came up, and the daughter is about 20-something, early 20s, and she's hugging me, going, my mother's never heard my voice before tonight. And tears are running down her face, you know. So the other churches found out, you know, what happened, and next town's over, and they were trying to get me to come there. And I had to play a concert in London the next day. So I ended up in a Nepalese church. And the people from Nepal, the British brought in to help fight the Boy War, but they never really assimilated into society there. So a lot of them don't speak English at all. So I had an interpreter. Sort of felt like Reinhard Bonnke. You know, you say something, you got to wait. And I'm talking about neuroplasticity. And he turns and the interpreter goes, there is no such word in our language. I go, okay, well, we just want to get the love of God across to them, right? So essentially what's going on is medical schools, secular medical schools have figured out that 95% of all sicknesses and diseases begin in your thought life.
Hmm.
And the other 5% is attributed to transgenerational epigenetic inheritance, meaning that the sins of the father being passed on mm-hmm. to the third, fourth generation. And, you know, unless somebody got before the Lord on this stuff and repented, yeah. You know, repentance is such a missing ingredient under the modern church today. Mm-hmm. It's all
yes.
about grace on steroids.
Yeah. Now, epigenetics, for people not familiar with the term, that's
switching genes on and off, essentially. And it is something that hard research now is showing is heritable. In other words, if I were to starve myself for all my life because I either don't have access to food or choose not to, and I have a child, it's very likely that child will inherit a poor constitution, and his or her children would also inherit a poor mm-hmm. constitution. It's passed down.
So it's in the genetic code, but some of the genes can change during your life, and that can be passed down. So in a sense, you're almost talking like a generational right. genetic curse.
And the blessings
yeah.
as well.
Yes,
the blessings
exactly.
are passed on as well. So let's not forget about the blessings.
Yes,
but
amen.
Deuteronomy
amen.
28, you know, for those of you out there that are into the prophecy movement, this is as prophetic as it gets. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, and it shall come to pass. That's prophetic. If, there's an if there, mm-hmm. thou shalt hearken diligently the voice of the Lord thy God, do all his statutes this day, then all these blessings shall come and overtake you and chase you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 15, it reverses that. And, you know, if you won't obey God and you get out of sight, you know, if an equestrian, I have a horse, and if he gets outside of the pasture, he's not under my protection now, right? He's running wild and all kinds of things can happen. And so when you get out of God's plan, the enemy's right there
waiting.
Waiting. And sin waiteth at the door.
Yeah, lieth exactly.
at the door.
God told that to Cain. I mean, so this was a very early message. We've known about this for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, mm-hmm. and yet the message doesn't seem to sink in. We only have a couple of minutes left, and we certainly will talk more about your music career and music as a blessing in our next program, if we can convince you to stick around for another week. Why do we as Christians, knowing that God has made these promises to us, why do we not avail ourselves of the power of prayer more often?
That's a good question.
It's an excellent question. I think it's the same reason most modern churches today are not sharing the Word of God. They're just telling people, you know, tickling their ears, telling them what they want to hear, because when, you know, you got money coming in to support a big building and budget, you can't tell people what they need to hear. And if we were actually getting in what we need to hear, then we would understand how to pray with power. It is life and death in the power of the tongue. And I reckon anything that the devil's done to change the genetic code by going to the throne of God, which we have access to day and night, boldly going into the room of God, making our request known, he can put back the way it was supposed to be. That's his plan. He just wants you to come, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is the plan for God.
He is the God of restoration.
Yes.
Indeed.
With just about a minute, and maybe this is a question that takes too long to unpack, but there are times we pray to God and ask for things, and those things that we ask for do not come. Now, why is that? Is it because what we're asking is not in alignment with his will, or is it because God is allowing a certain amount of testing in our lives?
I think there's constantly testing going on, and we've got, it's an open book test, by the way. And we got,
that's brilliant. And why do so many of us fail the test?
You know, okay.
We can't find the book.
Because most people don't even read the Bible. They read books about the Bible, and they listen to other people tell them about it. They're not reading it for themselves. And the Word of God come by faith and by hearing and hearing. And Hebrews tells us about these are the ones in faith, and they died, you know, waiting for that great hope. But you've got it. Mm. You've got it right now. And perseverance in the Word, you know.
Amen. Go to the website, theupperroomfellowship.org, and Casper McLeod, MCCLOUD.org.
Mm. And
Casper McLeod Music.
CasperMcLeodMusic.com.
We'll put them at the.
You'll find me.
Fascinating conversation. This is where the rubber of the faith meets the road, as it were. With Sharon Gilbert, Pastor Casper McLeod, I'm Derek Gilbert. And we thank you for watching as we keep watch. This is Skywatch TV.